It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this final day of August 2023, the 31st day of August 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And where, if you pop in now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Theo and Squeaky. Hi, guys. And moderated by, at least for the moment, moi. And hopefully it won't be that way for the rest of the evening, but one never knows. Hi, I'm Robin. If it happens that you are listening to this not live, but via podcast, well, if you would please be so kind as to like the podcast wherever you're taking it. The majority of podcast listeners listen via Apple Podcast, and if you would like and subscribe there, and if you would, or wherever else it is that you listen, you know, Google Podcasts, Podbean, etc. Like and subscribe there. Anywhere you take the podcast, please leave a comment. It helps to grow the program. And growing the program is a good thing. Let me start off by saying we did the Patreon thank yous a couple of nights ago. And I would very much like to thank an anonymous, kind internet contributor, friend, for helping out yesterday while I was absent. Fundraising goal stands at $2,240 to end August to the good. So it looks like this will be May, June, July, the fourth consecutive month that we finish in a hole. It'd be great if it wasn't, but that appears to be where we're headed, which makes every consecutive month harder. But soldier on we do, and especially right now. Obviously, okay, so this program is live. I hope I've made clear that we're live right now. Okay, it is the 31st of August. This is the final show for August. But I was not here yesterday, and I didn't make a lot of noise about it on the interweb tubes. Just noted that I was in Beckley and couldn't get home in time for air. And I was in Beckley for a decidedly unhappy reason. One of my dearest friends on planet Earth, or any other planet for that matter, is passing away. I got news of it yesterday morning and immediately began getting ready to go over to the hospital. This has been a painful summer. The most painful one. Scott, we found out, passed in June. We only found out around the 4th of July. And yesterday morning, I found out that boss man Wayne, who made this entire radio network possible, as a living memorial to his beloved wife, Gina. That's why the program closes every evening with Gina, It's All For You. Boss Man Wayne had a massive heart attack on Saturday, his fourth. And he has also been battling a form of blood cancer for about the last 4 years. And he has pneumonia. And, of course, what would a stay in the hospital be without a case of MRSA, medication-resistant Staphylococcus aureus? And so he told me that he was making the decision to go on his own terms. Those of you who've been listening long enough know who Boss Man Wayne is. You know what a force of nature he has been in this state. A few more Boss Man Waynes and this state might not be blood red now. But alas and alack-a-day, we had only one. I did not fault him for his decision, nor did I cadge or cajole or remonstrate. Within his world, this makes sense. So, when I got there, he was asleep, resting what appeared to be comfortably. And so I just sat quietly there, sort of meditated to the extent that I do that. But eventually he woke up, and when he did and saw me, he smiled, a big smile. Next thing you know, we were chatting like nothing was out of the ordinary. Laughing. I mean, he laughed. He is not facing this grimly. He is facing it with a broken body, but an absolutely intact spirit. At one point I said, listen, you know, I'm selfish here. I wish you could stick around a little while longer. I really want you to see the doors slam shut behind Donald Jailbird Trump. He said, oh, believe me, I do too. And that beautiful Aliquippa accent of his. And we were, and off and running we were. Do you believe this shit? He said. And we launched into a digression on the manifest venality and criminality of Nitwit Nero. We talked about family, mine and his. and I promised him I'd be back. But he called me earlier today and said, if you were coming over, and I was, he said, don't. He said, they're letting me out of here tomorrow. I contacted hospice. They'll help me get set up at home. Because that's where I want to die. Not in here. Again, how do you argue with that? As I left, stopped at the nurse's station and they said, is he still sleeping? I said, oh, no, he's wide awake. We've laughed and had a great time. But he is hungry. Dinner on the way? She checked her watch. Said, oh, yeah, anytime. I said, he's ready to eat. She said, good. I thanked her and took my leave. And once I got to the car, got it started, got the air conditioning going, and sat there and bawled. Known Wayne for 21 years. I don't tell the story of the origin of the horn very often. I told it at length in years past because people would say, why do you keep saying, Gina, it's all for you? But what happened was, back around 2003, and I had met Wayne previously, because Wayne is very much an old hippie. I had met him previously at anti-war meetings at a coffee house in Beckley. We kind of hit it right off. It was a very different time then. I was a very different person. But then I met Dr. Bill O'Brien, who at the time was the president of the Beckley branch of Concord College. We hit it off, too. And he was doing a two-hour program Monday through Friday at the little AM radio news talk station in America's fifth smallest radio market, and said that he had to be away for 6 weeks, and could I please fill in for him, because we got to talking about how I was an old hand in radio. I said, yeah, and it felt like a sign, you know. So those 6 weeks went by, and one day, Gina was listening, fierce progressive that she was, and called Wayne and said, "You gotta hear who's on the radio for Dr. Bill." And Wayne tuned in, and I was ranting probably about the war or generally deconstructing Dim Leader or some such, damning Republicans to the furthest reaches of perdition. And Wayne called Gina back and said, He needs a show of his own. And so that's how it came to be that on February the 4th, 2004, Head On with Bob Kincaid premiered in America's fifth smallest radio market. And we set it up to stream, and there are people who have been here with the program from the very beginning, or almost. Stephen Georgistan is one, and Tom from sunny San Rafael is another, David in South Carolina. And so when I finally pissed off the coal industry to the point that they threatened to pull all their advertising if they didn't get rid of me, they got rid of me. Boss Man Wayne said, like hell they did. And Gina was dying at that point. And he said, I'm going to build a show, get you all the equipment for a studio. We're going to keep this going. And keep it going, we did. And he and I have had adventures and misadventures. And all the while he was still working. And that's probably his signal accomplishment. There are people who, in this state, if they make decent wages, make them in part because of the tireless efforts of Boss Man Wayne. Calling him Boss Man was, you know, kind of a joke between us, because he was a working stiff all his life. Air Force veteran. Laborer. Carpenter. Spent a lot of time in Vermont and eventually moved down to West Virginia. And finally got in the Union. By God, he was a Union man from jump. And there was nobody who could get anywhere near to his dedication and his determination. And I feel fairly confident that Boss Man Wayne is the parent of no small number of bouncing baby ulcers among dirty construction contractors and wage thieves, because you didn't even have to be in a union for Boss Man Wayne to go to the Department of Labor and say, hey, they're fucking these people over. There was not a piece of legislation that went through the West Virginia legislature for years that touched on labor that he was not intimately involved in working for or against. Along the way, after Gina passed, he held his family of three sons together and took on both roles and worked. And he and Dr. Bill and I would get together at the Moose every now and then for lunch. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about getting the band back together, so to speak. Three people 20 years further down the road, sitting and deconstructing the events of the day. And so all of that has been very much in my mind since yesterday. Wayne's one of those organized, disorganized kind of guys. He's got everything set up. No one need lift a finger. His boys will be attended to, taken care of, and his special needs son will have everything he needs. This is gonna hurt. It already does. So I apologize if this is a bummer. But I dare say that this program, more than any other that I'm aware of, exists at a level of candor, a greater level of candor, because this has never been an entertainment. This has never been a show. What you hear is what you get. And yesterday he said, by the way, you are going to keep doing that, aren't you? I said, yep. Good. I said, really, though, you know, I'd like for you to see the door slam shut behind that son of a bitch. And he said, me too. And I said, and while you're at it, just something to think about. Count Dicula, Darth Cheney, was working on his eighth heart attack before he got a decent human being's heart in his chest. You've got at least four to go. And he said, is that old fucker still alive? And I said, yeah. He said, well, don't reckon I'm going to be able to Shanghai some poor human being's heart for myself. I said, no, you're not evil. He is. He said, that he is. Maybe someday I'll tell some of the stories he told me. Things like the day he chauffeured Howard Cosell around. God, the stories. But I wanted y'all to know where I was so that you wouldn't think I was out, you know, playing hooky or fishing or laying out at the beach. No. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, so sorry about Boss Man Wayne. The MRSA is what took my mom, coming up on a year for her. I hope somehow he can pull through. If not, then best he does go on his own terms. Exactly. And not hooked up to a bunch of machines that go ping. Thanks, Darlene. Yeah, that's a great line, Randy Bedar. When you wake up to the promise of your dream world coming true with one less friend to call on, was it someone that I knew? Race Among the Ruins, Gordon Lightfoot. And in Boss Man Wayne's honor, Routes is putting up a $50 challenge that would get us down below $2,200 if it's met. Thank you, Ramps. Thank you so much for always being there. you'd like to help out, the button is there, headon.live. Wayne and I took a couple of trips to D.C. back early in the process. He bought Bart Cop's two seminal T-shirts, the one of with a picture of W on the front that said, worst president ever. And after Barack Obama got into office, he also bought the I screwed up everything, but thanks for blaming the black guy W T-shirt. His first one was red, and he wore it one evening while we were in D.C., and we went down to we had discovered a place down from the hotel we were in called Stan's. It was a basement joint near Vermont Circle. Best wings either of us had ever had. God, they were huge. And you got a big old plate full of them. It wasn't really a beer kind of joint either. It was a place for where working civil servants went after work. They didn't stay open too late. Whew! They poured with a free hand. I remember he ordered a Crown and Coke, and it came in an iced tea glass. And it was a drop of Coca-Cola drowning in a sea of Crown Royal. I ordered a gin and tonic. They apologetically brought me my drink and said, we're out of tonic water, so we figured we'd just bring you a glass of cold gin and some lime. Is that okay? Oh, that'll be fine. But the thing is, the minute people saw his worst president ever T-shirt, they wanted it, and they wanted to know where he got it. And I have a feeling that Boss Man Wayne sold no small number of worst president ever T-shirts for Bart Cop. I mean, people were stopping him on the street. Where'd you get that T-shirt? And at first he was like, yeah, you want to fight? No, I want one for myself. Bartcop.com. And there will be a lot of memories like that. Love him dearly. But there's a broadcast to do. And, oh, there's a lot going on down here. Balloons for the kids and pony rides. Yeah. Thank you, Roger, in Oregon. Thank you so much for meeting Ralph's challenge. We're down to 21:40 now. Oh, not. I'm sorry, I misread. That is not for the matching challenge. That's a standalone. So, Ralph's challenge remains. We are down to 21:90. Thank you, Roger. And so now the challenge still needs to be met, if someone can. $50 in honor of Boss Man Wayne, says Roger. Don't use it to match. Done. Thank you. I missed the note early on. I apologize. So Ralph's challenge is still extant. Well, thank you, Lou. That's kind of you to say. Robin, just remember, he was blessed to have you in his life, and so I'm certain he knows the same. I cannot help but think that he was the far greater blessing to me. I hope he counted me. I know he counted me among his dear friends. Good Lord, that nightmare Amtrak trip from Thurmond, West Virginia to Chicago. We were laughing about that yesterday. I took the top bunk because at the time he said, Bob, if I fall out of that top bunk, I'm fucked. It was an object lesson in not running passenger rail on freight rail rails. Freight train rails. And if it hadn't had that sort of webbing, catch you rolling out of the bunk thing like, you know, ships do, my ass would have been on the floor. We have an anonymous challenge going forward, the $100 Go Union 2-for-1 tripling challenge. Bring it up to $50 and I'll triple it, our anonymous friend says. So we've got that and one more, Steve in New York. Wow, mega challenge. A mega challenge of $300. $300 will get you an instant pot pressure cooker and 8 other cooking functions and 3 dozen bagels, your choice of cream cheese, lox, etc. from Essa Bagel and from New York. If you have ever jonesed for a genuine Essa Bagel New York bagel, here's your moment. Thank you, Steve. So let's see. $350, $550. We could knock the end of the month deficit down to $1,640 if those challenges are met. Thanks, y'all. That would tickle Boss Man Wayne to pieces. But like I said, there's a show, not a show, a program, a community discussion to be had. Right off the top, just because everything, you know, everything touching on Mother Russia is through the looking glass. Russian authorities saying, yes, glorious airliner, glorious Embraer regional jet went down in ball of flame and corkscrewed into Mother Earth. With Evgeny Prigozhin aboard. And Pooty saying, it is terrible tragedy that happened to Evgeny Prigozhin. So amazing how he got on plane while bound and gagged. Is mystery. But the thing is, take this for what it's worth, because it comes from the Daily Post Nigeria. My oh my. Francis Ugwu reporting. I've never heard of the Daily Post Nigeria before. Russian Wagner mercenary group chief Evgeny Prigozhin has resurfaced in a new video dismissing reports of his elimination. Dismissing reports of my elimination. Via Sky News. Again, take that for what it's worth, too. Sky News reports that the warlord insisted everything is fine in a video filmed in Africa during second half of August. Uh, everything from it was a bomb on board to it was shot down by Russian military forces has been reported. Supposedly there was a burial this past Tuesday in Burakovskoye Kladbishche, St. Petersburg. And in the video, posted to a Telegram channel, were those talking about whether I am alive or not, how I'm doing now, it's the weekend, the second half of August 2023, I'm in Africa. For those who like to discuss my elimination, private life, income, or other things, basically I'm fine. Okay. Up is down, down is up, left is right, black is white. But that's what you get in a disinformation state like Mother Muscovy. Steve in New York says, in the Russian accent, Mr. Prigozhin fell out of open airplane window. Definitely was not pushed. Lou says, okay, a show, a community discussion to be had. If Trump were president, would he have nuked the hurricane that hit Florida these past few days? Well, he sure wanted to nuke some other ones.
Well, I don't understand. It's nasty. What's the point of having nuclear weapons if you can't nuke hurricanes or somebody somehow?
Right.
Nukes are fun. I always wanted to use one.
Scary Jerry says, thanks, Boss Man Wayne. Boss Man Wayne created you, and in turn, you created me. I wrote a well-received article on Daily Coast, and I was so excited. Then all of a sudden, it's 2 years ago, and Chipmunk's texting me, she wants to come home. This sucks. Never met him. Probably never will. But his hand, his caring, his sacrifice echo through time. It's okay. I'd like his last name. I'm going to put his name at the end of the article. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Mr. Wayne. There's a better, beautiful place. He's going there. We'll just have to leave his body behind. Peace be unto you all. $10 toward Ralph's challenge. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Yeah, he would. He gave his name frequently on the air. His last name was Rebic. A good Serb. Rebic. And what the hillbillies did to his last name. It's kind of like people trying to say Norfolk without saying fuck. They really wanted the second syllable of his name not to be bitch. Great man. Great man. Scary Jerry adds, tell the writers of your show to stop killing off beloved characters, thank you. It's midsummer, not even sweeps month. I'd appreciate it. Hurts. And so thank you to Emilio. Ralph's challenge now has $35 to go on it. And here's a note from Charlene in Rogues Island. After Ralph's challenge and others is met, I'm offering a $250 challenge. When it's met, I'll add another $100, $600 altogether. So we are looking at enough challenges to bring us down to only something around a $1,000 shortfall for the month, which would be amazing if we can do it. So there's 35 on Rouse's, $100 on the Go Union, Charlene's challenge of 250, so 250, 350, 385. Thank you, Charlene. And then, of course, Steve's challenge is out there. That's not a challenge. That's just a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. An Instapot, bunch of bagels, some cream cheese, lox, etc., for a $300 contribution. God, those Essa bagels are one. I love the jalapeno cheddar ones. And they're so good with the jalapeno cream cheese spread. Oh, no worries. No worries. Randy Radar said, tried to get Finkert's Deli one Christmas to get him that Slavic sausage ring, but never managed it. Well, they went out of the retail business. That's the problem there. Thank you, Tamara. Glad you're back. Sorry you're in such a hole, and also for the serious and terrible illness of Boss Man Wayne. We're here for you, dear. Thank you, Tamara. You'll never know how much that means. And here's Billable Rick. Give him hell, Boss Man Wayne challenge. I'm pledging $50 to be applied toward any accident challenge, and when met, I'll kick in another $50 for a total of $100. Thanks, Boss Man Wayne, for helping to germinate the horn. Indeed, indeed. So, Ralph's challenge is met, and there's $15 on the anonymous Go Union challenge, so that means there's $85 to go on that. Thank you, Billable. Thank you. Yeah, and Steve notes challenges. If we can do all this, folks, that'd be a big old horn Thursday on the side porch miracle. And it would be. It would. And David in South Carolina, thank you. David just got us down to $60 to go on the anonymous Go Union challenge. That's a tripling challenge, y'all. So, Billable and David's answers just amounted to, well, Billable's was turned 15 into 45, and David just turned 25 into 75. Thanks, y'all. I saw a story, you know, I start prepping for the evening's program about the minute my eyes open. It's just the nature of being a news junkie. Oh, and by the way, David, I hope Idalia blew on past with no significant misfortune there, knowing as I do where you are. But I saw a story yesterday, and then... Well, that's true. Ralph says, no, it would be a mega miracle. It would be. It truly would be. I saw a story yesterday about the sentencing for Enrique Tarrio, head of the Proud Boys. It was supposed to go down yesterday. It did not go down yesterday. Tarrio and Ethan Nordin were supposed to be sentenced for their convictions for what they did in terms of organizing and leading, following Nitwit Nero's orders, terrorist attack of January 6, 2021. Supposed to be sentenced yesterday, but they weren't. Instead, Nordine will be sentenced tomorrow, and Enrique Tarrio will be sentenced on September 5th. Being as I am terribly, terribly, terribly paranoid about these things, I couldn't help looking to find out who was doing the sentencing in the case, and lo and behold, it was U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly. And upon looking him up, I found out immediately that, yeah, of course, just as I suspected, he's a maggot. Now, maybe there's some sensible reason behind this, but I found it interesting that today, August the 31st, the self-same U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly sentenced another Proud Boys leader, Joseph Biggs, upon his conviction of seditious conspiracy in the domestic terrorist attack of January 6, 2021. And I don't think it qualifies as paranoia, quite honestly. This is just straight up corruption. This is maggot judge home cooking. The federal government sought a 33-year sentence for Joseph Biggs. Maggot Judge Kelly, however, dismissed the arguments of the Department of Justice and also ignored the federal sentencing guidelines and gave Biggs 17 years in federal custody. Now, Biggs helped... to whip up that homicidal frenzy and in a desperate attempt to cover for his maggotry, Judge Kelly said, well, I'm not trying to minimize the violence of January 6th, but, well, January 6th still wasn't on par with a mass casualty event, and if I gave a stricter sentence, it could create disparities. Who gives a shit about disparities? These people tried to overturn constitutional governance in the United States. But, you know, I guess if they'd set off a suitcase nuke, it might have gotten 20 years. God, I hate these maggots. It's maddening. Biggs, meanwhile, with the sound of a tinny whorehouse piano playing in the background, said, I was seduced by the crowd, and I just moved forward. My curiosity got the better of me. I'm not a terrorist. I don't have hate in my heart. Bullshit. He didn't get swept along by the crowd. He was part of the organizing of the whole damn thing. Over at the Oath Keepers, Stuart, you'll shoot your eye out, kid, Rhodes, only got 18 years last May. Earlier today, federal prosecutor Jason McCullough said, these are very serious crimes. There is a reason why we will hold our collective breaths as we approach future elections. They push this to the edge of a constitutional crisis. Hmm. kind of makes you wonder if Judge Kelly was trying to figure out a way to give a lollipop and a cupcake to these terrorists. And somebody's finally using the terrorism word. Because, you see, the federal prosecutors asked Judge Kelly to tack on 15 years to the prison term based on a terrorism enhancement. He had torn down a security fence, Biggs had. And Judge Kelly agreed that tearing down that fence is a federal crime of terrorism. So if he did the terrorism enhancement, because Kelly said it did apply to Biggs, I guess that means that he was only going to give him 2 years on the underlying felony and then gave him the other 15 as an enhancement, I'm guessing. Something stinks. Norm Pattis, whom we've heard of before. Hi, Darlene. Thank you, Darlene, for jumping in on the challenge. Our anonymous challenge, I made a mistake. All that had to do was raise $50. So Darlene finished off that challenge, and therefore 45 of it goes to Charlene's challenge. So that means there's $205 to go on that. And George and Course Gold just took that down to 155. Thank you, George. Thank you so much. So 155 and, yeah. So tomorrow, Nordine gets some kind of slap on the wrist. And then Tuesday, like I said, it's going to be lollipops, balloons, and cupcakes, I guess, for Enrique Tarrio. Maybe Judge Kelly's one of those maggots who feels like,
well, why didn't we line up the Black Lives Matter protesters and just shoot them?
Remember, insurrections insufficiently punished are dress rehearsals for the next one. And make no mistake, if Nitwit Nero is in fact the Republican nominee, well, when Joe Biden beats his ass, he'll scream that that election was rigged, too. Just like he said back in 2016 that if he lost then, that that election was rigged. See, anything in which he does not get his way is rigged, you know, by the riggers. Because, of course, so now we wait for tomorrow to see if Nordine, and they're looking for 33 years out of him, too. They want 33 years for Tarrio as well. I mean, this maggot judge has to give Nordine and Tarrio more than Biggs got, doesn't he? And by the way, that seditious conspiracy charge of which Nordine and Biggs and Rell and Tario were all convicted? Once again, we have a news story here, this one coming, the one I'm working from, coming from Reuters, describing it as a Civil War era law that makes it a crime to conspire to oppose the government by force. That Civil War era law that for some reason these massive major journalism outfits don't want to use. The Klan Act! I did make a mistake. Prosecutors want 27 years for Nordine, 33 for Tario. Dominic Pozzola gets sentenced tomorrow, too. He got acquitted of seditious conspiracy, but he was convicted of everything else. The Department of Justice wants 20 years hard federal time for him. Do we have an over-under? 5 years? Over? Under? Anybody, any takers? I swear every judge, and I haven't heard this discussed, maybe because it's simply impossible, but every judge who was appointed by Nitwit Nero should de facto be recused from any consideration of these cases. Too much to hope for. I suppose. Apparently a great time to mow your yard here in my neighborhood. I mean, 17 years is a long time. I guess I shouldn't piss and moan. But it's about half of the 33, slightly more than half of the 33 that Biggs damned well deserved. Meanwhile, another terrorist, Brandon Fellows, who continues to opine that the 2020 presidential election was stolen, is on trial, and this past Tuesday he told jurors that he felt very comfy sitting in a senator's chair during the domestic terror attack on the Capitol of January 6th. In the past, he has referred to January 6th as a beautiful day. And he said that, well, he liked the fact that members of the House and Senate were in fear for their lives. From the stand, he told the jury on Tuesday, "We had to take the election back. It was stolen." Among other things, he also sparked up a doobie in the office of Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. "I didn't know it was a senator's desk," he said, testifying. "Felt very comfy. I was fighting against the corrupt government, but I didn't take part in any violence myself, even if I did support it. It's the people's house. We had a right to overthrow it." In case you're wondering who his lawyer is that would let him get on the stand and say this shit. Well, Brandon. Brandon is representing himself, Brandon Fellows is. And Brandon has a fool for a client. And U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden held that Brandon did not have the right to rebut after the cross-examination. He just ran his mouth instead of answering questions and said, after rebuttal was rejected, he said, "I would expect nothing less from a kangaroo court." And Judge McFadden can't just blow his stack, even though he's a maggot judge. Although this maggot judge apparently had more than he could stand. After the closing arguments, McFadden held Brandon Fellows in criminal contempt of court and sent and gave him 5 months in prison to begin immediately after the close of trial. Jury deliberations were to take place yesterday. I have not seen a potential outcome yet. Wow, when you're representing yourself and you call your maggot judge a kangaroo court, yeah, that's a fool for a client and an asshole for a lawyer. Meanwhile, down in Florida, with Idalia having passed through, Monkey Up Duclantis decided to try to be all butch. He held a press conference in Perry, Florida, where the eye came on shore, and talked about reports of looting in Steinhatchee on the Gulf Coast. You know, when the little robot tries to be butch, it never quite comes off the way he wants.
There are reports of people trying to loot down in Steinhatchee. And I've told all of our personnel at the state level, you know, you protect people's property, and we are not going to tolerate any looting in the aftermath of a natural disaster. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would try to do something like that.
See, he always does that. There's always a qualifier. We're not going to tolerate any looting in the aftermath of a natural disaster, which implies that there is looting he will tolerate, just not a natural disaster. Do y'all hear the things the same way I do?
Protect people's property, and we are not going to tolerate any looting in the aftermath of a natural disaster.
That's what it meant. If it's in the aftermath of a massive car crash, loot away, y'all.
I mean, it's just ridiculous that you would try to do something like that on the heels of an almost Category 4 hurricane hitting this community. I'd also just remind looters that people, you never know what you're walking into. People have a right to defend their property. This part of Florida, you got a lot of advocates and some proponents of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. Generally speaking, using deadly force in defense of property ain't legal, except in Texas, and I guess now in Florida, because they got stand your ground. But even stand your ground is predicated upon a threat to one's own personal safety, not a threat to one's own personal four-wheeler. We've got a lot of Second Amendment proponents here.
And I've seen signs in different people's yards in the past after these disasters, and I would say it's probably here. You loot, we shoot. You never know what's behind that door. If you go break into somebody's house and you're trying to loot, these are people that are going to be able to defend themselves and their family. There are...
If you go breaking into somebody's house. Well, dipshit, you may have gone to Harvard, but that's not looting. That's burglary. And even a dumb old former country lawyer like me knows that. Jesus, these people. And what's the difference between an advocate of the Second Amendment and a proponent of the Second Amendment? Yeah, you know, I see people with signs on their doors that say, "This house protected by Smith & Wesson," which is as much an invitation to burglarize the house to get the Smith & Wessons as it is a warning not to. Or the smoking pistol says, "We don't call 911. Matthew Iglesias over at Bloomberg said, "Such a weird thing to say when nobody's looting. Post-hurricane looting is very rare, but it's like he's hoping for bad stuff to happen so he can be a badass." Oh, he couldn't be a badass if he... Well, he's a nerdass. Brother Deacon Asa, with his prophetic powers, Monkey Up. Let me guess. Monkey Up said, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." Fuck Monkey Up and the hurricane he rode in on. There it is. Goddamn, I swear I started typing this out before the vermin said it. Sincerely, Brother Deacon Asa. David in South Carolina, Stan, noting, looters. GOP always creates straw man looters. And every time I hear looters, I think of that clip. Well, there's actually two clips. Going all the way back to Hurricane Katrina and the horror that that was. The side-by-side photographs of people wading through the filthy hurricane waters in New Orleans. One person was black and carrying like groceries. Another person was white and carrying, like, groceries. The black guy was labeled a looter. The white person was foraging. And then, you know, I kind of hope it winds up on his tombstone. Wolf Blitzer. When on CNN he noted... a survivor of Katrina, and lamented, "Jesus, I remember thinking, this can't be real," but it was real. So poor, and so black. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin, in Colorado Springs. Thank you so much. In acknowledgement of Boss Man Wayne. Thanks, Wayne. And so we are down to 100. No. We're down to $55 to go on Charlene's challenge, which will close out that challenge. Oh, and Kim in New York, I didn't miss your email there. Steve and Bagels. So very sorry about Boss Man Wayne, Kim says. Can you tell me what Steve from New York's challenge is? I heard something about bagels from Essa Bagel. Thanks, Kim from New York. Well, what Steve said, and it's not a challenge or anything, it's just straight-up offer. A $300 contribution gets you a brand-new Instapot and bagels from Essa Bagel and cream cheese, lox, you know, whatever it is you decide that you want to go with it. So there's that. And frankly, it just sounds yummy to me. Yeah, back to Monkey Up. Even Cenk Uygur over at Young Turk said, glad to see Ron DeSantis comforting people devastated by a hurricane by threatening to shoot people. This is the GOP game plan. We won't do anything about climate change that keeps intensifying storms ripping through your neighborhoods, but we can shoot people afterward. And meanwhile, the Daily Edge, never heard of them before, but they claim to call out GOP lies and corruption, said, not sure encouraging Floridians to shoot their neighbors is the best advice immediately after a hurricane? But the funny thing is, the Monkey Up War Room, that clip you just heard, they tweeted that out proudly. Because it was so butch. And we haven't heard from this one for a while. Remember Dana Lush? She used to babble away for the National Ruble Association until, well, that outfit became so mired in corruption that they had to get rid of her and Coleon Noir and maybe Greg Gutfeld was part of it. I don't remember. Dana Lush said, don't F.A. during a hurricane, else you'll F.O. Fuck off? She's not the sharpest fork in the toaster. But a bunch of the maggots certainly did get all... I don't know, what did Chris Matthews, Tweety, what did he say about George W. Bush? I guess a lot of these right-wing asshats got a tingle down their pants leg. Ew. Ew. Well, I mean, count your blessings, David the Blind pointing out, hey guys, at least the maggot judge didn't dismiss the case out of hand. Even a Trump-appointed judge knows they have to sentence him to something. I'm surprised he didn't get an ice cream and send him out to Burger King like they did Dylan Roof. By the way, Christine and I are keeping Boss Man Wayne in our thoughts as well as you. Keep up the good work, girl, your buddy Dave and the Blind. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Hey to Christine. Love you both. Dana Lush, Ralphs, Loesch. She always sounded drunk, so I always figured Lush was the correct pronunciation. Oh, by the way, speaking of Monkey Up, via Midas Touch, they're reporting that a Young Republicans straw poll, and I guess that means it's not particularly scientific. Now, there was a poll of the Young Republicans, see also Hitler Youth, shows that 65% of young Republicans and responding to the poll, chose ABT, anybody but Trump. Monkey Up came out on top. That's a new one. Came out on top at 36.6%. Nitwit Nero was second at 35.4%. We Wake Ramaswamy, 9.1%. Nimrata Let's Talk to the Morning Zoo Crew of Moscow, 98.5%. The Vulgar Boatman got 7.5%. And Tim Scott got 5.5%. And, well, the Young Republicans responding said, didn't anybody else? And somebody else got 6%. All this happened because the young Republicans done had themselves a convention in Dallas. I'm sure that there's ketchup all over the walls at Bed Monster. And then, well, then there's... And by the way, the lines are open if you'd like to call in. A little conversation. Uh, 844-843-4676 gets you right into the program. 844-THE-HORN. And Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, get you in via Skype. Either one is fine if you want to engage in a little chat. And by the way, maggot terrorism trials, Billable Rick, of counsel to the Horn Family Community Congregation, not really, said there's a decent chance that the government will appeal the stiff sentence of 17 years imposed by Judge Timothy Kelly, since the 15-year terrorism enhancement was apparently added to the scant 2-year sentence as to the felonies or for which the maggot terrorist was convicted. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Trevor McFadden the same maggot judge who sentenced Steve Bannon to only 4 months in prison for contempt of Congress and then promptly allowed Bannon to be released while he appeals that stiff sentence to the D.C. Circuit? Yeah, I was looking that up the other day, Billable, and honestly, I can't entirely recall. Let's just check here. Steve Bannon convicted. Okay, that's the conviction. Let's change that to sentenced. October 21st, 2022. No. It was not McFadden, Billable. It was U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, but they're all behaving to a type. So, and that type is, well, corrupt. Oh, Randy Radar pointing out, on my Apple News feed, Governor DeSantis voted against Hurricane Sandy relief a decade ago, and now Florida needs disaster aid. Might be nice if something, if people would hammer him about that all over Florida. And by the way, just further proof that the Biden administration is way smarter than these clowns. President Biden signed a disaster declaration long before Monkey Up even had to, because, you know, I don't know why they're dithering him on our disaster relief.
Well, I've already done that.
The statement said something like, I've signed disaster relief legislation, orders, whatever. And I called Governor DeSantis to tell him help is on the way, and we and the federal government will be there as long as it takes. That's called defanging a snake preemptively. So, Billable Rick, I hope you're right. I hope the federal government does appeal. And I hope the D.C. Circuit slaps down Kelly like the miserable maggot that he is. And then, of course, oh, listen, let me address this real quick, just because there's a point in here that I think deserves to be made. It was two weekends ago now, almost three, that an innocent woman was blown away, Lori Carlton, there in Lake Arrowhead, California, San Bernardino County. Travis Ikaguchi, a 27-year-old, probably incel, anti-Semite, homophobe, transphobe, etc., etc., wasted her for flying pride flags at her store, which she owned. You know, in the wake of the Jacksonville slaughter, the sheriff of Jacksonville used the actual hate-filled word that the lawful gun owner used. And it was shocking. And I think it was the right thing for him to do. Well, they're still reporting that Travis Ikaguchi yelled many homophobic slurs about the pride flags at the store. Yeah, that's all the sheriff of San Bernardino County, Shannon Dicus, would say. D-I-C-U-S. Well, Ikaguchi, and this is why I wanted to return to the story. What we're finding out, and we've been ahead of the curve on here at the Horn for a very long time, is that if someone is hate-filled on one topic, odds are they are hate-filled on multiple other ones. And so it was that Travis Ikaguchi, on his social media, shared anti-LGBTQ content, but he also shared anti-Semitic content. And it's almost always the same. Similar to the fact that mass murderers are quite often, to the point of near statistical certainty, domestic abusers of women and children. Among other things, Travis Hikiguchi said, posted garbage about 9/11 being an inside job. Jesus Christ, we are 22 years from that, and that shit's still going around. He also shared content saying that Michelle Obama's really a man. And he's a climate change denier. And a gun humper. And eventually we'll probably find out he's an incel. Or maybe a men's rights guy. And it's worth, you know, the next time, because there will be a next time, the next time one of these things happens, maybe we look, maybe we ask ourselves, gee, I wonder how many overlapping Venn diagrams there are for these, this little monster, whomever the monster happens to be. Because it all comes from a clearinghouse of hate. In Ikiguchi's case, big fan of Matt Walsh. And Matt Walsh is all of those things. Travis Ikiguchi reposted stuff from Matt Walsh. He reposted stuff from Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. He had a pinned post from June showing a burning pride flag.
What to do with the LGBTQP flag?
You know what the P stands for.
We need to stop compromising on this LGBT dictatorship and not let them take over our lives. Stop accepting this abomination that the government is forcing us to submit to these mentally disordered tyrants.
He was, of course, a Christian. A Christian nationalist. Naturally. And also on social media, he followed the recently sanctioned psychologist, Canadian psychologist, Jordan Lobster Daddy Peterson. He was also a big fan of anti-vaxxer Rotted FK. And got a lot of yucks out of the Babylon Bee. About the unfunniest comedy site. Well, you know how it goes with right-wingers and comedy, right? And Lori Carlton's grieving daughter, Ari, said, "We will continue to steer the narrative away from him and towards my mother and honoring her. He is irrelevant. The media must stop glorifying these individuals by giving them this platform." Lori Carlton was a well-known fashion designer. I didn't realize this until later. A well-known fashion designer in L.A. But I disagree with Ari Carlton a little bit. Gently. Lovingly. Compassionately. We have to highlight the hatred of these monstrosities. I personally think we need to profile based on this hatred. Because when you see these young men out there posting homophobia, transphobia, racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, xenophobia, it's proof positive that they are already weaponized by the stochastic terrorists who do everything short of loading the gun and putting the gun in their hands. Any objections? At some point in time, if we want to stop this, it feels like we absolutely must do that. Because at this point in time, it's not bias, it's fucking evidence. The adoption of every bigotry increases the likelihood of these monsters finally taking action, and it only takes one thing to get them all the way weaponized and motivated and activated. I get your point, Emilio, but I don't think I'm going to read that because, well, no. Oh, well, Michelle Obama's more of a man and woman than any of the Republicans will ever be, says Emilio. I get your point, but generally speaking, misgendering's not a great idea. Let's see. Another interesting little piece of information out of the court system. Via Variety, the entertainment industry newspaper, a group called the Free Speech Coalition filed a lawsuit on August 4th . They filed it in the Western District of Texas, where the senior U.S. District Judge is one David A. Ezra. And today a ruling came out on because they sued to stop legislation passed and signed into law in Texas that requires porn sites. I feel gross defending porn, but here we are. It's the front lines of the First Amendment, right? The statute called for porn sites to use reasonable age verification methods to verify that an individual attempting to access material is 18 years of age or older. They also required a Texas Health and Human Services warning in at least 14-point font, saying things like, pornography increases the demand for prostitution, child exploitation, and child pornography, and gave a toll-free number for people with mental health disorders to call. On June 12th, Texas Governor Greg Asbot signed it into law. But today, U.S. District Judge David A. Ezra said, the court finds that HB 1181, that was the bill number, is unconstitutional on its face, and entered an injunction against the acting attorney general of Texas, because Ken Paxton is suspended because he's so crooked that when he dies, they'll have to screw him into the dirt. Angela Colmenero is enjoined from taking any enforcement action under HB 1181. Judge Ezra said the statute is not narrowly tailored and chills the speech of plaintiffs and adults who wish to access sexual materials. The law is not narrowly tailored because it substantially regulates protected speech, is severely under-inclusive, and uses overly restrictive enforcement methods. The court agrees that the state has a legitimate goal in protecting children from sexually explicit material online. But that goal, however crucial, does not negate this court's burden to ensure that laws passed in its pursuit comport with established First Amendment doctrine. There are viable and constitutional means to achieve Texas's goal, and nothing in this order prevents the state from pursuing those means. Basically, the folks behind the lawsuit was Pornhub. The Free Speech Coalition was MG Free Sites. Pornhub's parent company, ALO, operates that. Web group Czech Republic is part of the Free Speech Coalition. And NKL Associates and MediaMe SRL. And there are five other states. They are, of course, maggot states or maggot legislatures. Arkansas, Louisiana Stan, Mississippi Stan, Utah Stan, and Virginia Stan have all passed similar laws. And it's interesting because, well, you know how that that maggot freak Kaczmarek assumed unto himself the power to stop the sale of mifepristone nationwide because of a lawsuit brought in a shithole like Texas? I mean, Texas members of our Horn Family Community Congregation understand. There's wonderful places there. But y'all know better than I what a shithole Republican government there has turned it into. But I don't see anything in the reporting here saying that this has immediate impact on those statutes in those maggot states. And by the way, maggot legislatures never do anything that anything they do has an ulterior motive. It's similar to the concept we've talked about so many times, that everything with Republicans is either projection or confession. How one defined a porn site, that could easily have come next. Is, for instance, I mean, the obvious, it's the Pornhub. But, what if it's a website about health issues in the gay community? That's pornography, groomers! See how it works? What if it's a website devoted to LGBTQ news? Or like, for instance, Aaron Reed, who is the single best journalist documenting anti-trans legislation in the United States. In Texas, that could easily become pornography, too. Just reporting on the filthy doings. Of these maggot legislatures. And then probably the biggest story of the day, not trying to bury the lead or anything, it's just been so damn much. Darlene reminding me. I guess the heat has grown sufficiently hot that Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas has decided maybe he'd better disclose some more travel funded by Har Har. there was a new filing by FAPI today. Or the story came out today. ProPublica reporting, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas for the first time acknowledged that he should have reported selling real estate to billionaire political donor Harlan Crowe in 2014, a transaction revealed by ProPublica earlier this year. Writing in his annual financial disclosure form, Thomas said that he
inadvertently failed to realize
that the deal needed to be publicly disclosed. What? Inadvertently failed to realize? Any grammarians or general practitioners of the art of word knowing out there want to take a run at that? I mean, if you fail to realize, isn't, and again, it happens with lawyers. It's like monkey up and, you know, looting after a natural disaster. On the other hand, if you want to loot if the Dolphins ever win the fucking Super Bowl again, now we're good with that. Or the Jaguars. Inadvertently failed to realize that he needed to disclose a wildly unethical real estate deal. Oh, dokie. A pettifogger for FAPI, one Elliot Burke, said,
after reviewing Justice Thomas's records, I am confident there has been no willful ethics transgression and any reporting errors were strictly inadvertent.
Because he just, the $500,000 vacation to Indonesia, the luxury yachts, the jet trips, private jet trips, it just slipped his mind. Oopsie. I'm sorry, that phrase, inadvertently failed to realize, just beats cat's fucking. It does. Because try as I might, I can't figure out how one inadvertently fails at something. It's kind of like the boogaloo. It plum evades me. I think we've got some clips of various senators talking about the corruption of FAPI Thomas. By the Associated Press. Two years of private school tuition, undisclosed. And now he's lawyered up. He and Jin Jin. Fat Fap and Jin Jin have lawyered up. And it just keeps getting worse. And AP noting lawmakers in Congress were again divided by parties.
This isn't about Justice Thomas.
There's Josh Holland ass.
And this is about their radical left agenda. That's what it's about. And they are threatening the judiciary, threatening to withhold funding from them, including, it looks like to me, security funding. You can't tell me that the $10 million that they're threatening to withhold, which is exactly what the Supreme Court asked for, in security funding, happens to be coincidental. Everybody knows what's going on here. It's hostage taking. And it is, I tell you what, if they start this game, they will regret it.
God, he's so masculine, manly masculine.
And, you know, then all bets are off.
The drip, drip, drip.
Richard Blumenthal.
These destructive disclosures is going to destroy the United States Supreme Court unless there is an effective, proper investigation. That's why I continue to maintain that we need the Department of Justice to investigate Clarence Thomas's apparent failure to report or misreporting.
Yes.
These inaccuracies if purposeful, amount to a violation of criminal law.
Uh-huh.
And even the highest court in the land is not higher than the law itself.
He's obviously been targeted because he's a conservative.
John Cornholio.
And he's on the Supreme Court in an effort to undercut the legitimacy of the court. I think the best thing for the Chief Justice Roberts and the judges to do is to take this experience and go back and consider whether their changes in their code of ethics for the Supreme Court are appropriate. It's not for Congress to dictate as a co-equal and separate branch of government.
Kind of is.
But I think that would be a wise thing.
Then get a harumph out of that guy.
And his fellow justices to do.
You cannot have a situation where the Supreme Court justices are influenced by money. And by the way, I would say the same thing for us in Congress. And so there
John
should
Keister.
Be a bipartisan effort going on, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, to make sure that these folks are following a set of guidelines that ensures that they aren't swayed by money.
Teaster makes good sense. I wish they'd gotten a soundbite from Sheldon Whitehouse, because he doesn't pull any punches. But I agree with Senator Blumenthal. There needs to be a criminal investigation. Fappy Thomas may have just shit all over the law. And maybe he needs a nice indictment for it. Because impeachment is a useless tool. And a useless tool is no tool at all. But in the midst of disclosing his inadvertent failing to realize, Mr. Orwell, line one, Mr. Orwell, line one. Well, he also noted that Har-Har loaned him the jet for a couple of trips. Fappy saying that his security detail said that he needed to fly private whenever possible because of the increased security risk following the Dobbs opinion leak. And there's another jet trip. I flew on Har-Har's plane from a conference in February in Dallas because there was an unexpected ice storm. Sure, Fappy, because ice doesn't form on billionaire private jets, does it? And on the form he said,
I continue to work with judiciary staff to decide whether he should further amend my reports for any prior years.
What this is a confession of guilt. There's a term in the law called subsequent remedial action. Let's say a store, a grocery store, with an electric eye door opening device. Let's say it goes haywire and starts closing really fast and just whacking people right in the face, and somebody gets their face broken. Well, the defendant can't come into court and say, yeah, but we fixed it. Okay, Jack, okay? No. And reporting it now doesn't make it any less guilty then. Probably don't have to say it, but, well, Fappy Thomas is dirty. Fappy Thomas is crooked. And this is, and contrary to what Josh Hall and Ass, masculine man of masculine masculinity man, says, it's not about his judicial philosophy. It is about the fact that he sits in judgment of other human beings when he himself has no regard for the law itself, even when it applies to him. And we would say the same thing if it was a dirty liberal justice. Because it's well, I call it the Hunter Biden effect. Hunter Biden! Hunter Biden! Hunter Biden! Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. Cool. If Hunter Biden violated the law, investigate him, prosecute him, convict him if he's guilty, move on. Which is precisely not how the maggots are responding to Nitwit Nero's legal problems. Or Fappy Thomas's. That's a witch hunt! Well, you know, what happens when you have a witch hunt and you catch a witch? No offense to witches. I like them. Might be one myself. I don't know. But, you know, when the legal ethics experts are saying, oh, yeah, oh, this is bad, and you can't really find any actual legal ethics experts saying, oh, it's cool, in his filing today, Fappy said that,
well, he actually took a loss on the deal with Har Har. Because me and my wife put between $50,000 and $75,000 into Mama's house in capital improvements over the years.
That's some brass, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I did a dirty deal, but I didn't make any money off of it, so all good, right?
No. Just no. Emilio noting, I inadvertently failed to remember to send this email. Okay, there's our first cowbell of the evening. Nicely done, Emilio. Jeremy in Vermont says, was it hostage-taking when Republicans refused to help in Benghazi and increased defense funding when asked by the Democrats? I think that was hostage shooting, wasn't it? Suman. Hi, Suman. Disclosure? Are you saying you never took a vacation to a private island chartered by a private jet to a private hotel? Clearly, Robin, you're not working hard enough. All you had to do was to sexually abuse a subordinate and then lie your way onto the Supreme Court and then put yourself up for timeshare. Easy! Oh, thank you for remembering that, Suman. Yes, Fappy Thomas is the world's first walking timeshare. At least among Supreme Court justices. What also bugs me, Darlene adds, is the sleazebag requested an extension to file his corrections. He got it, of course, but what a POS. Yeah. He is that. And a bag of chips. Jeremy said he's cleverly bullshitting by cleverly describing what he did. Inadvertently failed to realize. And I guess it wasn't just, thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc SCOTUS Research Department. Sammy Bad Breath filed a 2022 financial disclosure, too. Ralph's noting, Alito reported a little. No, the cowbell's not sick, Randy Radar. I just muted. See? Perfectly healthy, but if I grab it by the bell portion, sometimes I worry about, well, never mind. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break. And I will be I will be right back. And I guess we've had some streaming problems this evening. Brother Deacon told me that we jumped right out there and started shin-telling right away. Sorry about that. But, like I said, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stand by, please. The podcasters won't even know I was gone. Okie doke. I'm back. Thanks for your patience. Coming up on the beginning of the third hour of the program for this Thorn in the Side Thursday, and just a quick reminder, we have only $55 to go on Charlene's challenge, and that will be the goodness me, meeting that $55 results in $600. So that's quite important. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Back to Sammy Bad Breath for a minute, courtesy of Ralph's. Among other things, Fappy also said,
the judicial conference in 2023 provided new guidance on when we have to tell how much we've sold ourselves for to billionaires. Up till 2023, I didn't have to report personal hospitality like private jet flights to Indonesia or anything like that.
Oh, by the way, the Dallas trip was to the American Enterprise Institute at Old Parkland in Dallas. And Har Har paid for Fap Fap to fly private coming home. And he had another trip paid for by the Orrin Hatch Center in Salt Lake City. They seek to, try not to laugh,
revitalize the political discourse by convening the greatest minds in American public life for high-level discussions on the public policy challenges of the day.
You know, like women managing their own reproductive systems.
Which is evil and God doesn't like. And no woman who does that will ever be a good sister wife on Kolob.
Meanwhile, though, Sammy Bad Breath said that he took two trips and he got transportation and food or lodging. One was to teach at Duke Law School. He got lodging and meals in May 2022 while teaching a class. But he also reported $5,250. That's a mile of dollars, isn't it? In money he made teaching at Duke. And Duke gave him 15 grand for teaching in March, and then he got 9,000 bucks for teaching at Regent University School of Law back last January. Regent University School of Law, by the way, in case you might have inadvertently failed to remember. That's Pat Robertson Law School. And then there was Sammy Bad Breath's
Religious Liberty Summit
that Notre Dame Law School paid for. He didn't give any dollar figures for that. The Religious Liberty Summit was in Roma. No word on whether he did any ring kissing. Oh, Ralphs, thank you so much for jumping back in and helping with the remainder of Charlene's challenge. We got $45 to go on that. Thank you. Dave in the Blind inadvertently forgot double negative time on the horn. If you inadvertently forgot, does that mean you intentionally remembered? By the way, Robin, Christine and I sent $25 earlier in the program. I did see it, and I counted it, and thank you. Thank you. I think I read the message instead of saying thank you, but I did count it. Thank you. Dave adds Justice Roberts, or Justice Thomas, exercises his constitutional right and remains silent on the bench for over 9 years, and now he's spouting off. I kind of liked it better when he was remaining silent. Oh, it should look at this. We've managed to avoid the latest hissy from Nitwit Nero until the third hour of the program. I think we're getting better at this. Oh, goodness me. He's been on a flurry. I think he posted over 100 video clips to Tripe Social recently, one of which he was screaming that maggot prosecutors need to start charging Democratic politicians with stuff as a act of loyalty. But in this case, he got all upset at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Because, you know, Rupi, not too long back, had to shell out nearly $1 billion damn dollars, or is looking at it, for the defamation they engaged in. As a result of Nitwit Nero's bullshit fraud claims. So maybe they're not feeling quite so solicitous. You know what I mean? So,
Rhino John Roberts of Fox News just put failed political candidate Chris Christie and terminated AG lethargic Bill Barr.
Ooh, lethargic. Somebody's been reading their readers, their ancient copy of Reader's Digest, and it pays to enrich your word power.
On to talk about your favorite president, me. What does he expect from these two losers? One who I refused to give a job, the other who I fired because he was petrified of the radical left and what they would do to him. Anyway, my polls are even higher since the so-called debate. Republicans should unite against the fascist lunatics who are destroying our country.
I love it when fascists call other people fascists. On the other hand, there was back in December 2020, he was tweeting,
just had a very nice meeting with Attorney General Bill Barr at the White House. Our relationship has been a very good one. He's done an outstanding job. As per letter, Bill will be leaving just before Christmas to spend the holidays with his family.
The story appeared at Mediaite, and a little fun poll question that goes with it. Do you think he will or will not get the Republican presidential nomination? 27% probably will. 20% definitely will. 18% probably will not. 29% definitely will not. And 5% just want to get to the next screen. Remember Peter Navarro? God, they're such a mess. There's such a tawdry gang of pitiable crooks. No, not pitiable. Laughable crooks. This Tuesday, which will be the 4th of September, Peter Navarro goes on trial for contempt of Congress. You know, just like Steve Bannon did. He got indicted back in June of 2022, a little over a year ago, because he ignored a subpoena from the Congress of the United States, resulting in a finding of contempt of Congress, a reference to the Justice Department, a presentation to the grand jury, and a true bill being found by the said grand jury. And Peter Navarro is pissed. You know, he's one of those guys. He was a conservative economics type. And he just threw his entire career away to go sniffing after Nitwit Nero. But the court has said, nope, sorry, you don't get to claim executive privilege for not showing up. Because there is no legal theory and no good faith argument for a change in the law that a president who is no longer in office has any right to claim executive privilege. The executive privilege goes with the office, not the individual. Yesterday, U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta ruled against Navarro and said, no executive privilege for you. And he didn't just say that. He kind of put in the rusty shiv and gave it a little twist, Judge Mehta did, saying that Navarro claiming executive privilege via Trump is, in his words, pretty weak sauce. Oh. And so, that was Monday. And then yesterday said, privilege cannot be validly asserted based on what was put forward in the evidentiary hearing. So Navarro, throwing a fit, went out to the steps of the courthouse to bark and grunt and bray and bleat and hoot about CNN. And that's when it got zany. And he started arguing with a protester who shouted, yes, Ralph, Judge Mehta, no soup for you. This clown Navarro is down to arguing with protesters because a woman showed up with a sign behind him that said, Trump lost. Then he tried to swat it away. You know, they tried to overturn the constitutional governance in the United States. But, God, what a bunch of dipshits.
So, what...
The sign says Trump lost and you know it.
What this, I think, means is that we'll have a trial next week. But these are questions that will certainly move up the chains, the appellate level. And as I said at the beginning, this is probably going to the Supreme Court because this is so important. Okay, you can't have a Congress, a partisan Congress, that abuses the subpoena process for the purpose of punishing the party that's out of power or putting somebody in jail. Okay, in this case,
none of which is happening here, just for the record.
Clearly, the J6 committee was trying to build a criminal case against President Trump, and it was no coincidence that on Monday, one courtroom away from where I was,
just one,
facing what could be an up to 2-year prison term, the president was facing a lot longer than that. Okay, so the point here is the
president,
separation of powers of issue.
You mean Joe Biden?
You can't have Congress under the Democrats doing what they have been doing and expect to have.
Did anybody tell Peter Navarro that the maggots hold the house? Just wondering.
Have efficient, effective decision making in the executive branch. That's what these constitutional separation of powers are all about. So, I won't say I'll look forward to the trial. There will be one. I want to remind people once again that the costs of these prosecutions are part of what I wrote yesterday in the Washington Times, and I urge you to read this, is what they call lawfare. It's the use and abuse of our legal system to punish political rivals. And one of the ways they do that is they try to put you in prison, which they're trying to do with me, but it's also to bankrupt you, okay? Again, I'm over $500,000 worth of legal bills for what's a misdemeanor that the Department of Justice...
And all he had to do was not participate in a scheme to overthrow constitutional governance in the United States, you know, a terrorist act. I'm sorry, terrorism is so fucking expensive when you get caught at it, Pete. But, you know, like they used to say on Beretta, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Oh, and sorry about the stream glitch. We buffered up and crashed for some reason or another, but hopefully it's back.
Justice itself had a policy against ever prosecuting. I mean, think about that. We're going to go up to $750,000 by the end of the trial, and the appeals are going to be over $1 million. Okay? Do I look like a rich man? This is the same suit I wore in 2017 going into the White House. Okay?
Wow. Worked for the White House from 2017 to 2020, and they never even paid him enough for a new suit. I mean, that's just sad. I mean, I'm wearing the same underwear I wore when I walked into the White House in 2017. So poor, so white.
Okay. So anyway, I'm not going to answer any questions about what transpired today or about the case for obvious reasons. If you have a general question, I'll take it. But other than that, you're the Post guy, right?
Yeah, right?
So here's the problem here. It's like, where's the CNN? CNN here? Is CNN here? Anybody want to own up to that? Here's the problem.
Hero.
Who's this?
Bro, you're already facing charges.
Yeah, I get it.
Go ahead and come.
The protester's been standing there quietly behind him for 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Trump lost, and you know it. And he tries to swat her sign away, and she says, "You're already in criminal trouble. Why? Don't do that." I've been here this whole time. Situational awareness. Oh, honey, you're good.
Am I right? Here's the thing. If you look at the partisan nature of what's going on, you can understand what's going on. This is free speech. This is fine. I got no problem with that.
Except for the fact that you tried to bat it away and
shouting behind me. That's a problem.
She's not shouting.
Right?
But prison.
When you look at the coverage, if you look at like CNN's coverage versus, say, the CBS story Monday, you can see that the CBS news was quite fair and balanced in terms of old style journalism, in terms of providing a message about that. Whereas the CNN, you know, they did their usual kind of hit pieces. So I would ask you as journalists to get this right, okay? Focus on the constitutional issues, the separation of powers issues that are important to this. And I think the Republic will be better off because we can't keep doing what we're doing. Yes, sir. Who are you with, please?
CBS.
Okay.
Any concern about the jury pool in the District of Columbia? I'll just note symmetrically, Trump's attorneys expressed some concern about the jury pool in the District of Columbia.
No.
Why the former president hasn't come forward as it told the committee, told the court, put in writing, somehow made clear that he indeed asserted the
questions from the press.
I have nothing more. Look, they're go back to my testimony on Monday. It was crystal clear. The judge went over all of that, I think, in a very thoughtful way today within the context of all of the case law. And what you should be writing is about all of these open questions related to how the privilege is asserted, who it is, whether...
Yeah, they're not open questions, though. That's the problem. They're closed questions. They're settled questions. There's even a phrase for it. Settled law.
It's presumptive and the like. I mean, that was really interesting to me, listening to the judge go through all the case law, because I've been doing the same kind of thing like that, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's every bit the lawyer that the judge is. I mean, of course.
At the end of the day, all of these things are open questions, which is interesting. Yes, ma'am.
Alicia Powell, the Gateway Pundit. Why aren't you concerned?
Say again.
Alicia Powell with the GatewayPundit.com. Why aren't you concerned about the jury?
Oh, dear God, it's an idiot from Gateway Pundit. I don't know how she talks with all those toenail clippings in her teeth.
Well, it's a 92% voting rate for Joe Biden within this district, and most of the jurors share the ideology of the woman behind you. That's a fact. With a 98+% conviction rate for J6 defendants.
That's tough when the right wingers show up to tell you you're fucked.
It's not. Look, I grew up in the area here. I went to BCC High School, spent a lot of time on the playgrounds here playing basketball. And I love the people of Washington, D.C. I'll be honest with you.
It just got more interesting because a maggot with an American flag just walked up with her orange hair to wave an American flag in front of the Trump lost sign. Little American flag. She's not even blocking the sign.
Really nice city to be in. And I love the people here, and I would expect folks would be a lot more fair than maybe some other places. All right, anything else?
Yeah, the judge won't allow you to argue to the jury that... former president invoked executive privilege, so you can't make that argument in trial. What do you tell the jury? What's your defense?
Why don't you come next week, and all will be revealed
on CBS.
I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna go and put a swirly straw in a Jeroboam of old Panther piss, and just take a trip and never leave the farm for until Tuesday. How's that? And then there's, because, well, yesterday I was all set to deal with things like the latest Mitch McConnell news. And then that didn't happen. Thank you. Thank you so much to Women Standing. We are now down to $25 to go on the remaining challenge from Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you. Thank you so much. 25 bucks. 25 more bucks turns into 600. And when all is said and done, we're down below, we're down to about a $1,000 deficit instead of the 2,200 we started with. That's miraculous. Thank you to all of our challenge providers. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, anonymous friend. Thank you, Ralphs. And if anybody wants that Instapot with all the bagels and the cream cheese and the lox and everything, Steve's still got that on offer. That's a single contribution of $300. And that would close the books on August at $700 deficit, which is much more manageable. But Charlene's challenge has $25 remaining. Thank you. So, like I said, Mitch McConnell, Mitch glitched again. And I will never understand, for the life of me, what goes on in the dead souls of people like McConnell who cling to... Maybe he just doesn't want to spend the rest of his days at home with Elaine. I don't know. But... Wow. So he's fallen multiple times. He had that glitch in the Capitol, in the Senate. And then he was in Covington, Kentucky a couple of days ago. And this happened.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's right.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute.
Senator. Reboot. Working. Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. Staff comes over. Kind of a standing eight count.
Okay.
Somebody else have a question? Please speak up.
And no one asks the obvious question. What's wrong? Why are you still here? Why do you so desperately cling to power? Are you determined to be carried out feet first from the Senate? Is this some sort of pride thing? And look, I want to be fair about this. I think the same questions are posable to Dianne Feinstein, although she has had a far more remarkable and decent career than Mitch McConnell. And while I want to exhibit some common human decency in his regard, every time I feel it, I can't help thinking about all the people in circumstances similar to his now. All the elderly Americans. All the Americans with disabilities. That he has worked hammer and tongs for his entire miserable existence to fuck, to harm, to hurt, to wound, to torment, to immiserate, to cause to live in fear and stress and trauma. And a lot of that sympathy just, well, it kind of evaporates. Because he's never had any of it of his own. All of his sympathy, all of him, his compassion has been for him, or say the folks at the Kentucky Coal Association who own him lock, stock, and stinking pickle barrel. And I wonder how many Kentuckians just wish he would go away. It's a question worth asking, isn't it? Brandy Radar says, I get pissed off at liberals who say, I don't understand the psychological makeup of conservatives is money, sex, power, fear, anger, and reaping from the cheap, exploitable labor. That's it. Years back, there was a really good essay out there that said everything in conservatism, whether it's even social policy, all comes back to cheap labor. And it was... It was a compelling read. Oh, by the way, Rudy Giuliani has forfeited in the defamation case filed by Ruby Freeman and her daughter. So he'll be looking at some damages there. I don't know if that's even worth covering. We have a bizarre new conspiracy theory from Caribou Barbie and Godzilla from Wasilla. Oh, and when he got his 17 years in prison today instead of the 33 he richly deserved, reports now indicate that Joe Biggs broke down in tears. Kyle Cheney, tweeting live because we can't have cameras in federal courtrooms or live video feeds, because I guess it's still the 18th century in the United States federal court system, said that Biggs bawled, said, I know that I have to be punished. But please, just let me take my daughter to school one day and pick her up. You know, when a maggot talks about picking up a little girl at school, it's kind of cringy and gross.
I was seduced by the crowd, and I just moved forward. I was curious. I wanted to see what would happen. My curiosity got the best of me, and I'm going to have to live with that for the rest of my life. I'm not a terrorist. I don't have hate in my heart.
Fuck you. Go to prison. You're an instigator and a leader of a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States, and if America never saw your fucking face again, it would be too damn soon, Joe Biggs. Thank you, Brendan. Brendan just got us down to $15 to go, and then Colin finished off Charlene's challenge. And $20 more. So we're now down to like $980 to finish the month. And thank you all so much, because that is ever so much better than $2,200. It means bills get paid. And we get another month of broadcasting. Thank you all. Jude sent a note and said, a glimpse into my day, and sends a photograph of some of the lovely young people she works with. I said, my day was filled with friendship, kindness, and respect, a reminder that in the midst of so much dysfunction in our country, we each house the ability to shift the universal consciousness one person at a time whom we engage with. My irritability is past, Robin, and now I'm grateful to those in my life, as I'm sure you stand on the same soil. Keep on keeping on. I'm trying, Jude. I'm trying. Tough time. Oh, a quick update to the to monkey up DeKlantis' racist plan to erase African-American history from the public schools of Florida. It turns out that Florida education minions of monkey up demanded the advanced placement course on African-American studies because they thought it focused too much on the negative aspects of slavery. And there weren't any opposing viewpoints. Good Lord, who would deliver the opposing viewpoints? The great, 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 great grandchildren of slavers? The Miami Herald and Tampa Bay Times got hold of internal state commentary and found out that, well, the monkey-up minions had tried to completely erase the horrors of slavery. In the report, it said, for example, a lesson in the advanced placement course focused on how Europeans benefited from trading enslaved people and the materials enslaved laborers produced. The state objected to the content, saying the instructional approach may lead to a viewpoint of an oppressor versus oppressed based solely on race or ethnicity. I mean, that's what it was? And then there was a lesson about the origins of the transatlantic slave trade and plantation economies. Monkey Up's minions neck instance said,
it may only present one side of this issue and may not offer any opposing viewpoints or other perspectives on the subject. It may not address the internal slave trade system within Africa. And
it, you know, that's the one where they go,
well, black people sold other black people.
They love to fall back on that one.
May only present one side of this issue and may not offer any...
You know, I should be using the Richard Pryor white guy voice. It may only present one side of this issue and may not offer any opposing viewpoints or other perspectives on the subject. That led the reporters to seek out Mary Patillo, sociology professor and department chair of black studies at Northwestern University. She said, there's no other perspective on slavery other than it was brutal. It was exploitative. It dehumanized black people. It expropriated their labor and wealth for generations to come. There's no other side to that in African-American studies. If there's another side, it may be in some other field. I don't know what field that is, because I would argue there is no other side to that in higher education. Basically, in Monkey Up's fascist Florida, both siderism has found its way to the classroom. But it's not really that new.
Teach the controversy!
Remember when that applied to evolution versus IntelliDerp design? African-American studies professor at Brown University, Alexander Wahele, said, it's not really about the course, right? It's kind of about putting down black struggles for equality and freedom that have been going on for centuries at this point in time and making them into something that they are not through this kind of distorted rightist lens. He went on to say that the evaluator comments were complete distortion and amounted to a whitewashing, pun probably intended, of the entire history. Rightist lens, Professor, Doctor? It's okay if you want to say fascist. Perfectly okay. And just sort of clearing the stack a little bit. I don't know if y'all notice this, but good Lord. Matt Schlapp is apparently, allegedly, even nastier than what anyone thought. I mean, first there was the allegation, which is backed up by concurrent sourcing, that Matt, a pasty-faced, doughy old white dude in his 50s, had a few too many cocktails, and on the way home tried to grope the crotch of a young man who was driving him. And now there's further allegations that he did it to other young men, too. Of course, he has to vociferously deny because, well, he and his wife, Mercedes, are a conservative power couple, and Matt Schlapp would never have a man in his mouth. Right? And so now he is attacking the Daily Beast for disclosing that he's trying to settle the lawsuit for his sexual battery of the young man, even though he keeps saying he didn't do it. Well, Mercedes, Mrs. Schlapp, went on the platform owned by derpy Batman villain Leon Scum. And said, the Daily Beast is Satan's publication to persecute Christians and their families. And then hubby chimed in and said, soon to start a weekend edition, the Saturday Satan. Yeah, the Washington Post over the weekend last said, multiple misconduct, sexual misconduct allegations, perving, grammar, have been brought against Matt Schlapp by two other guys who are, of course, way younger than him. In the Post report, it said, in one incident, a staffer said Schlapp attempted to kiss him while drinking late and after a work function in 2017. In another incident, Schlapp allegedly made unwanted physical advances on someone else's employees during a CPAC business trip in Palm Beach, Florida, early 2022. I realize it's probably a function of confirmation bias, but I have no problem believing this whatsoever when you think about the fact that CPAC is out there every year barking and grunting and bleating about their Christian family values. Because those are always the guys you find with a man in their mouth. Not about the conduct. It's about the hypocrisy. Matt, Schlapp, go ahead. Just tell people you're bi. Come out wherever you are. It's okay to be bi. It's okay to like cute, hunky young men half your age. It's just not okay to sexually assault them. Just go on Grindr, honey. There's lots of fuckboys on there. Meanwhile, speaking of the LGBTQ community, up in Canoodlia, love ya, the government of Canada is now warning Canadian citizens thinking of traveling to the United States that it might not be real safe for them in some states in particular. The Canadian government posted an updated advisory this past Tuesday saying some states have enacted laws and policies that may affect 2SLGBTQI+ persons. 2S, two spirits. LGBTQ, we understand. I, intersex, plus. Check relevant and state and local laws. Global Affairs Canada, giving a statement to CNN, said, since the beginning of 2023, certain states in the U.S. have passed laws banning drag shows and restricting the transgender community from access to gender-affirming care and from participation in sporting events. This tracks with what the Human Rights Campaign said in June. LGBTQ plus Americans are living in a state of emergency. The multiplying threats facing millions in our community are not just perceived, they're real, tangible, and dangerous. In many cases, they are resulting in violence against LGBTQ plus people, forcing families to uproot their lives and flee their homes in search of safer states, and triggering a tidal wave of increased homophobia and transphobia that puts the safety of each and every one of us at risk. And, of course, Canada is not wrong, but this occasioned a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy over on where else? Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Where Michelle Tafoya, a former NBC sports reporter, who decided to get political by coming out as a racist and a Republican, the hissy, oh, the pearl clutching, Michelle Tafoya saying, well, they're talking about Florida, right? They're aiming this at Ron DeSantis and the Don't Say Gay bill, which is one of the most ridiculous interpretations of that bill I've ever seen. I think they need to be a little more concerned about countries in the Middle East who throw LGBTQ types off buildings and disrupt weddings and don't even allow us to think about it. So this is, it's rich coming from Canada that bans certain people from thinking and talking certain ways to suggest that you might be in danger here. I can't think of a single law that has anyone in danger for being part of the LGBTQ community. and then there are the facts. The ACLU report, mapping attacks on LGBTQ rights in U.S. state legislatures. The ACLU is tracking, according to Justin Barragona at the Daily Beast, is tracking 496 anti-LGBTQ bills in the U.S. And there are 10 in Florida, including 4 that have already passed into law, and one of them is being battled in court. Then there was Fox News TV Radio Rwanda host Dagan McDowell saying, Canada's clearly worried about people's feelings and not their physical safety because there are other countries, New Zealand, Australia, and France, have warned their citizens about violent crimes and shootings in our cities. That's an actual concern. If Canada was more worried about anybody coming to the United States, say, hey, be careful if you go to places that have historically been friendly to the... And I got to get this right because Canada, again, turned it around. 2SLGBTQI+, San Francisco, New York City. You'll get injured if you come here. So they, rather than caring about that safety, should be that should be in the warning. And you mentioned, yep, Canada is your... Jordan Peterson has to go through some social media re-education, which is like Soviet Union, Gulag-era nonsense. Well done. Oh, well. Well, when you can only have 2 beers a week. God, they hissy. They hissy with such... hissification. And of course, the Canadian government, like I said, is correct. This is actually, well, I don't want to say surprising, but damn, it's brassy. The prosecuting attorney in Blount County, Tennessee, whose county seat is Maryville, it's near Knoxville, has sent a letter threatening Pride organizers if they dare to have a Pride event that features drag queens coming up on Tuesday. No, Saturday. Because back on, oddly enough, April Fool's Day, the Tennessee legislature, well, the anti-trans ban went into effect and banned male or female impersonators from public performance. There's no real definition of performance. That's what means it's an anti-trans bill. Well, a U.S. District Court judge jumped on it like a duck on a June bug and enjoined the law, said it was designed to stifle unconstitutionally protected speech, and after the injunction, went ahead and said, nope, yep, final ruling, it's unconstitutional. Well, apparently the federal court and the Constitution don't mean a tinker's dam to Ryan Desmond, because he said that the judge's ruling does not apply to him, Ryan Desmond, or his office, or Blount County, Tennessee. Pride at Maryville College is open to all. And so the prosecutor sent out a threatening letter saying, we'll arrest all of you. We could even arrest the president of Maryville College. It takes some chutzpah to think that you, a little pissant county prosecutor, can overrule an Article III United States District Court judge with all the power and majesty of a lifetime appointment and specified jurisdiction. There's not a single piece of case law that says otherwise, that says that he is above the law, above a federal judge's ruling. Well, Blount County Pride organizers aren't backing down. Along with the ACLU of Tennessee, they've filed a lawsuit against Ryan Desmond and his office, saying the what his threat amounts to a harmful attempt to remove LGBTQ people from public life, and they're still going to do Pride Saturday, hell or high water. They've got chapter and verse and receipts, and they know every step that Ryan Desmond took to target organizers, the college, drag artists. He even made intimidating phone calls, he and his staff, to Pride officials, to the college administration, and to law enforcement in the area. And it's possible the judge will rule against them, at which point civil disobedience becomes a necessity. I will say that this is worrisome to me, because that county is just a few counties south of where I go to when I've been helping my son and his partner and their children move. Because the way these things are drafted, just living in public could result in arrest. It was supposed to be done away with by the injunction and the ruling, but this is another case of my Tinkerbell theory of the Constitution. It only works if people believe in it. Ryan Desmond may not like it, but he's still subject to it. And the question becomes one of, it would be great if the U.S. District Judge would hail his ass into court on a criminal contempt charge and let him answer to the court. I don't know if that will happen. I don't know if the ACLU is going to that judge. But flaunting a federal judge's ruling is not something that one should do cavalierly. On, we talked a couple of days ago about Ollie Anthony, Oliver Ahenobarbus, Ollie Barbarossa, and now that he's a big deal, well, where's the first place you go when you're a big deal and you're on that side of the stupid? Well, of course, you go and sit down and have a chit-chat with the king of jacking off, just asking questions, Pink Shrek, Joe Rogan. They went on for hours. And so he unburdened himself, Ollie Ahenobarbus did. And said that most of my friends back in Virginia vote red and they support Donald Trump. And then, you know, keeping his street cred up with the right wing, said, I love freedom of speech and I love the Second Amendment. Yeah, right. And, then there was the dig at Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. Get the cowbell.
Investing in America means investing in all of America. When I ran for president, I made a promise that I would leave no part of the country behind. So she did do it. She really did tweet it from her account. Is that real? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She really did do it. Oh, my God. That's so crazy. So, of course, when you read his tweets, it sounds like her. Like, she's got a very politician way of doing it. She's like an AM radio DJ. An AM radio DJ version of what a press secretary is.
Yeah.
Like a politician. Because, you know,
now, this is attacking Corinne Jean-Pierre.
AM, all right, here we are on the drive. I'm Mike, and I'm with The Rock, you know, or whatever, with the fucking sidekick.
And maybe that's what attracted people to Trump, and maybe what attracts people to, like, see, like, thank God I haven't, especially now, at least I've got a good excuse not to keep up with politics anymore, because I've got a few other more important things on my plate, but I think that's what attracts people to, like, that rough, raw, authentic type of speech. Like, it's not clean cut, and it's not professional, but it's, at least, like you said, even with Bernie, which, who knows, I don't know anything about Bernie, but...
he's not polished.
But at least what he's saying is, like...
Yeah, I don't know nothing about Bernie.
At least you feel like he actually, like, at least he actually believes it.
Because,
you
believes
know, you look at you can look at politicians over a 15-year span and like, they'll quote something from, like, oh, good God, think anybody, any politician from the 90s is going to have a lot different opinions on emotional triggers that we talk about today.
Bro, politicians from the 90s, from the Democratic Party, sound like
totally
Nazis.
Totally different, yeah.
They sound like Nazis. There so
really? Have you listened to any Nazis lately, Pink Shrek? Because there's a lot of them over there on your side of the aisle. You really don't have to look that hard if you want to know what Nazis sound like. Nazis sound like a dude showing up at a flower shop in Lake Arrowhead, California, screaming about the trans pride flag or the regular pride flag and hollering about the Jews. And the groomers.
Like, what does that tell you?
When
you
Biden
know?
Passed the crime bill in 94, there's this famous speech that he gives about locking people up so that his wife is safe and so that they're safe and that I'm safe. And it's just, it sounds like right wing, like Proud Boy speech. It's fucking crazy. It sounds like a patriot speech.
No,
like what you worry
again,
about militia saying.
I don't. I know very little about any of this, but my understanding is even.
But nonetheless, he's going to continue talking. Oh, shut up, Alia Hanna-Barbas. And Pink Shrek tried to. Tried to tease him out a little bit because there's a line in Ollie Barbarossa's song. If you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not pay for your bags of fudge rounds. And he's trying to crawl out of the little right-wing hole he dug himself. Pink Shrek, because he's a millionaire, gets to say this kind of shit. Fat people shouldn't be buying fucking fudge rounds with food stamps. Yeah, and that's sort of a conversation that got blown multiple ways, and really I'd like to let a song be left up to the interpretation of the listener. What he really wants to do, though, is he wants to write a song about GM being bailed out during the recession. Even though they made terrible decisions. And then he went into the aliens hunting the Bible. And of course then pornography.
That stuff's terrible for people. That's one thing I had to give up because it does disconnect you from reality in many ways. I think a lot of the weird perversion we see coming out now at this point, I even referenced some of it in the song course, but you read a lot about the weird things people are doing that maybe wouldn't have been accepted 100 years ago.
I hate to tell you, Ollie, there's nobody doing anything in terms of sex that they weren't doing 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. May I commend to you the Hellfire Club of the, 18th century? Ever heard of the Marquis de Sade? Ollie? Yeah, right. So that's the program. Started out kind of, a lot of sadness. And I suspect somewhere in the future there will be some time away from the microphone to... some damn chair. To deal with things that are coming. But thank you for your kindness. Thank you so much. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors and our challenge providers. Y'all make such a difference. You keep this program on the air, and I can never, ever make manifest the sense of gratitude that I feel, that we feel. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, for getting everything started. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you take it. Let the algorithms know that we're here. You know, little Who's down in Whoville. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Either get your booster or wait till the new one comes out sometime in the coming month, so they say. Wear your mask when you're around maggots. Because, well, they don't give a damn about anyone but themselves and precious little for themselves. As is obvious if you ever wander past a Herman Cain Award over on Reddit. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if some dude with a red beard that looks like he could strain soup out of comes towards you talking about how government shouldn't pay for fat people's fudge rounds, well, avoid Ollie Barbarossa like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.